Those who have passed through God's other door are oft listening for the voice of those they have loved in the earth. The prayers of others that are still in the earth may ascend to the throne of God, and the angels of each entity stand before the throne to make intercession. So, one of the things that people don't think about doing is praying for loved ones who have died, knowing that they're going to hear those prayers and how helpful they're going to be. So that's a great Casey quote about that. We had that on the Tree of Remembrance at the Logos building, that very quote. In fact, I have it in my office right now, because I love that, to try to remember to pray for those who pass, because they feel it, they need it, and it's helpful to them. We're all going to die, and no matter how much you deflect and ignore that fact, it's going to happen. Now, the thing is, there have been exceptions of people who've never died in the scriptures. And so I think sometimes what we do is we think, okay, I'll be that exception, so I don't need to think about dying. And we need to begin preparing when we're quite young to die, to have a good death, meaning have everything taken care of that we need to, not deny that it's going to happen, prepare for that, and do all that we can in the space that we have, which is very short here on the earth. If we're lucky, we'll have 120 years. It says we can live that long. How many of you know a 120-year-old person? Well, each of you could be that exception. It's possible. So maybe just 100. Maybe you're just going to make it to 100. What are you going to put into that 100-year span? How are you going to make each year count? And it's okay if you deny that it's going to happen, because it doesn't matter, it's going to happen anyway. We're all going to kick the bucket. What we do in that little space that we have is what's important. This is from John Mukiachi. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. I want to give people the knowledge and hope that there is this vast, vivid, very alive part of the universe called spirit, and hope in the sense that we've all lost someone that we miss terribly, hope that this person is still alive in a different consciousness. The consciousness, we call it now, is spirit or soul. And Rumi says, death has nothing to do with going away. The sun sets, the moon sets, but they are not gone. So while we may not continue to have a physical body, we will still be completely aware on the other side. Now, how many of you feel that there have been one or more times where you have heard someone who has passed try to communicate with you, somehow get a message to you? How many of you have experienced? Good job. Good job. So wouldn't it be wonderful if at will we could communicate with those who have died? I believe that's completely possible. And one of the ways is through meditating and being still and listening. Every night before I go to bed, I ask to meet in the dream state with my son Stephen, who died when he was 15, and with my dog Happy and with my dog Beethoven, that also died a couple of years ago. And I ask to meet with them and play with them over the Rainbow Bridge or whatever it may be. And I believe that that's happening. Do I have dreams always of that? No. But I ask and I know that that happens. I know that I'm communicating with them. I have had so many experiences talking to people who have died. My mother was Church of Christ. And my dad was Baptist. Neither one of them attended that much, but in theory, that's what they were. And my mother believed that Herb and I were doing a really good work with Logos, but we believed in reincarnation, which she kind of believed, and we believed in communicating with the dead and all that kind of thing, which she wasn't too sure about our souls not going to hell, because that's how you're brought up, to believe that That is not something that people can do. And so what happens? Somebody dies, and we kind of put them over here, and that's it. We think of them occasionally. We might pray for them occasionally. But seldom do we allow ourselves to have ongoing communication with those on the other side. They have a wealth of knowledge that they can share with us about what they can see. They don't have all the answers, but they can see the pathway a little bit more than we can. And in that ability to see the pathway a little more clearly, they can bring great information to us to help us in our soul growth this lifetime. Because all of us, whether you're aware of it or not, and this is the one thing through meditation and prayer, as Casey just says over and over again, that we can do, is to contact those in the spirit plane and talk with them and listen to them and learn from them and pray for them. And so just because somebody dies doesn't mean that has to be the end. We can continue to visit with them, to talk with them, to interact with them. And I would say, think about all your friends that have had someone die, how few of them have ongoing conversations. Bill Guggenheim, who wrote Hello from Heaven and other things, and just a wonderful friend to us, said that he has not met anyone who has had an ongoing relationship with someone who died, like I have with Stephen. But you know, I know that's not true. I know a lot of people that have had these ongoing relationships with someone who died. We need to talk about it. We need to own it. We need to get over our fear of it. We are fearful sometimes that if we talk to the dead, our old Catholic and other religious upbringing say that may be of the devil, that may not be good. But I'm saying to you, that is what we were created for. To not have that great sadness and pain when someone dies, but to recognize they simply unzip their earth suit and they are fully in spirit now. And it's nothing for us to grieve about. We miss their physical presence. We miss the physical presence of our animals who die. We grieve for them. We grieve for people. And yet, they're not dead. What does dead mean? We have to look at dead another way. Dead meant, in my parents' generation, that was it. They died, you buried them, it was over. You might talk about them and some memories you have of them, but you don't talk to them. Or if you talk to them, they for sure don't answer back, because that would be really, you know, against all the rules, that they don't talk back. You can talk to your loved ones who died, but they don't talk back. And I want to say to you, they talk back. They want to talk. Think about it. This is what I do, because I was trained in Gestalt. Role play. What will I feel like when I die? What will it be like? What will I want to say to people who are still in physical body? I'm okay. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm learning. We don't give them the chance to do that. They die. We cut it off. Well, they're there. We got to get on with our life. When in fact, there's so much we could learn, so much we could be helped by through that. I went to a conference, Herb and I did, a number of years ago, Compassionate Friends, and it was a big ballroom, maybe 5 or 6, 7 times as big, huge ballroom. And hanging from the ceiling were 5,000 stars, and each of the stars hanging down was a child that had died. In a variety of ways. They had SIDS deaths, they had murder, they had illness, every death that you can think about. And each star symbolized one of the children that had died. It was really very touching to me. And I was so excited about being involved with Compassionate Friends. And then they changed their board of directors and they didn't want to carry any books or talk about the survival of people. And Compassionate Friends, they want to comfort and care. And I don't mean they're all like this, but basically that's how they feel. They just want to comfort you in your grief. They don't want to talk about communicating with the other side. And so they lose this wonderful group of people that could be so helpful in this way in raising the consciousness about survival of death. So I'm involved with a group in New York City called the Prayer Registry. Are any of you members of that? And if you're not, and if you've lost a child, contact Sherry Pearl at the prayer registry. They'll put your child, doesn't matter if your child died 50 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, they will put your child's name up on the date that they died and a blurb of information about them, which is really very comforting to parents in loss like that. And they're doing an incredibly good work in that regard with the prayer registry, with the prayers that they're sending out to all the people that have lost loved ones. But the thing that I wanted to share with you was that I had this amazing experience a couple of weeks ago, on the 24th. Sherry Pearl, who has the prayer registry, is doing some of the most advanced work in electronic voice phenomena that has been done on the planet so far. Years ago, and let me explain EVP, electronic voice phenomena, it used to be called paranormal voice recording. People would find, and it started out with a Latvian scientist named Raudava. He turned on a tape recorder out in the field, and he was recording birds, and he picked up the voice of a relative that had died. And he could identify the voice, and he knew that. And it got him into this study, and he wrote a book about that. And then a lot of other books were written about paranormal voice recording, electronic voice phenomena, whatever you want to call it. So Sherry Pearl had a son, Danny, that died of an overdose when he was 21. And they found him, and it was just really sad, a wonderful soul who had had a problem with drugs and other things. So she started the prayer registry so that each child that died would be prayed for on the date of their transition. And she began to get into the electronic voice phenomena research. And as she did, she was sharing with me all these experiences and the things that people said and how her son Danny would come through and would leave messages, all kinds of messages about how it was on the other side. So she said to me, would you like me to do that and see if we can pick up Stephen? And I said, of course. And so here's how this went. She would ask a question and she would pause. Nothing was said during the pause, say 15 or 20 seconds. Then she would ask another question, we'd pause, and she would ask me if I wanted to ask particular questions. 62 times we got long messages from Stephen, evidential messages, not just, hi, how are you? Not that kind of thing, really evidential things. I want to read you a couple of them. She said, I'd like to speak to Stephen, and she said his mother would like to speak to him and tell him she loves him. And here's what he said, one of the first messages, we're all fine, you know that. It matters to me when you don't come around, meaning when I don't take time to listen to him. He said, I am behind you. Mom, do you hear me? He said, Sherry called Stephen. That's exactly what happened. Sherry said, Stephen, come and talk to your mother, see what we can find out. He said, I'm glad you could hear me. And he said, I come to you, Mother, and I know you'll be there for me. And then he said, and every mother wants to hear this, I just love you. Now, the voice did not sound like Stephen. It sounded more robotic. And that's the way that there's the communications between the dimension. They use sound and white noise, many kinds of things. And it's not radio broadcasts that are picked up. It's actual voices of those who have died. And she has brought not only her son through, but for these grieving parents, she's brought many, many children through with evidential information. And this is a question I said to Stephen, what are you doing on the spirit plane? And he said, I suffered to leave everybody. And he said, I love you, Mom. And then he said, everybody adores you. And then he said, better and better to call me. Now, these may not seem so evidential to you, but for those of us who have been doing research into EVP, these are incredible messages through EVP. It used to be you'd get one sound like joke, mom, whatever. And now they have sophisticated equipment, and Sherry Pearl has the most sophisticated equipment and is picking this up and does this absolutely free, and it takes 4 or 5 hours to transcribe and hear these messages because you have to play them sometimes over and over. But when she played them, and I have a copy of that, you can hear it distinctly. I don't have to tell you what it said. It's as clear as a bell. And then I said to Stephen, she said, ask him if he hears you. I said, do you hear me? He said, I hear you, I love you, and I want to be just like you, Mom. Obviously, that's not Stephen. I can't imagine him saying that. He said, we all love you. Now, I'm just reading you a few. There were 62 distinct messages from the other side. You can talk to the dead. They can tell you that they're okay. There are ways to do it individually, not just through the equipment that Sherry Pearl has, but through quiet meditation. He said, oh, I asked about orbs. I want to tell you a little bit about orbs. Most of you know orbs are, since they have manufactured these little cameras that fluoresce, when they hit an object, the light bounces off of them and it's put onto film. So the new little digital cameras are getting incredible orbs, these round spheres with patterns on them and all that some people think are the souls of the dead. And some of them may be. They aren't all. There are many things that they are. But I have a little interest in that, and I have taken over 100,000 orb pictures so far. And sometimes there are pictures of people on the orbs, many different things. So I said, do orbs bring you to visit me, Stephen? He said, no, I do that, Mom. He said, I am not an orb, because sometimes I thought maybe they came in orbs and they were like an orb to appear. He says, I'm not an orb, but something needs to show you. He said, I'm happy, and when you're down, you can ask Debbie, my daughter Debbie, who believes that you're a good mother. Long sentence. I don't know if it's true, but it's a long sentence. Good one. He said, I will have healing from the most heavenly sign. Then I said, Stephen, do you see Beethoven and Happy? Are they with you? Are dogs? I mean, when you have a dog you love, that's Peter. He had a dog named Caesar that died. He still grieves, and we all do. You never get over grieving a dog you really love. I said, do you see Beethoven and Happy, and are they with you? And he said, there's a dog, Mom, right by you now. And Happy had just come into the room and jumped onto my lap when we were asking this. Then he says, there can be no doubt you're my busy, happy mother. I knew I'd find you. And then I said, Stephen, I love you. Do you have anything you want to tell me? He said, you can call me, meaning I can communicate with him directly. Something lovely you wore seemed to be a part of you. Something lovely you wore. And then he said, I'm Stephen. Hold on to me. I love it here. And then he said, Mother, there's a newborn Happy. And we have a second dog named Happy, who's a rescue from Mexico. And he said, there's a newborn Happy, and that was true. And I said, in our last communication, I said, goodbye, Stephen, I love you. He said, wherever you are, we will find you. They want me to go to the light. Now, he and Danny Migdal, who is Sherry Pearl's son that died, started coming into the group and started talking. And he said, they want me to go to the light. Tell them Dan came. Don't let them leave. Talk to Danny. So they're trying to hold on to this communication longer. We're ready to end it. They're trying to hold on longer. They said, we're running rules, you know. So evidently on the other side, they have particular rules they have to do. You can talk this long. Here's how you have to work it out. We're dealing with a crowd. And that's what Casey said. There may be thousands on the other side that want to make their presence known. Thousands. And we sit here and we forget our dead loved ones. We just put them in a little box, like a coffin, and say, okay, that's finished. It's over. It's not over. It's never over. We can always communicate with them. And her son Danny said, I need to ring the bell often, keeping people in line that they can only talk so long, because there are a group of those on the other side that want to make their presence known. Don't miss me when I'm gone. The day will come forever. Now, these are incredible messages from the other side. You rarely hear that long a message that clear, and anybody that listens to this on tape can hear clearly. I don't have to say to them, as I told you, I don't have to say what they said. They can hear that. So it's not only time to look at death in another way, but to begin to establish how we can communicate with those who have died. Oh, and by the way, let me digress, so take this out of the tape, Bill. If any of you can't hear when I move away from the microphone, tell me, because we're trying to work this system out. So hold your hand up if there's any problem about hearing. You'll do that. Anyway, as we look at death in a different way, as we read everything we can from some of the great minds and philosophers, it will give us the confidence to allow ourselves to communicate more fully. They can help us with health issues. They can help us with awarenesses, all kinds of things. This is a favorite poem of mine. Many of you heard it. A ship sails, and I stand watching till she fades. And someone at my side says, she's gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight, that's all. She's just as large now as when I last saw her. Her diminished size and total loss from my sight is in me, not in her. And just at that moment when someone at my side says, she's gone, there are others who are watching her coming over the horizon, and other voices take up a glad shout, there she comes. So what we see as a soul dying where we can't see them, it's not how it really is. Just because there's a change does not mean that there's an end. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who happened to be in her later life a really good friend of ours, we visited her many times, and she had a lot to say about death and dying. Death is simply a shedding of the physical body, like the butterfly sheds its cocoon, to a higher state of consciousness where you continue to perceive, to understand, to laugh, and are able to grow. That's what it's like on the other side. And how much we diminish our existence by not having that ongoing relationship with those who have passed over. When you remember me, it means you have carried something of who I am with you, that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you can summon me back to your mind. Even when you remember me, it means you have carried something of who I am with you, that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you can summon me back to your mind, even though countless years and miles may stand between us. It means that we meet again and you will know me. It means that even after I die, you can still see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in your heart. That's Frederick Buechner. And here's an excerpt from a book by someone named Raymond. Father, tell Mother she has her son with her all day on Christmas Day. There will be thousands of us back in the homes on that day. But the horrid part is that so many of the fellows don't get welcome. Please keep a place for me. I must go now. You know, some people put an extra chair for their loved one who died and carry on conversations, and I'm sure their neighbors and friends think, ooh, they're really out of this. They are maybe into it far more than we are. They listen. And you may think, oh, this is imagination. But think of what the word imagination is. Image. Image. Creativity in the mind is you image it, you can create it. So it's an exciting thing to know that when we have a Christmas celebration or any celebration, that our loved ones are there. Evan Alexander, who spoke for Logos, many of you heard him speak at the conference that we had, wrote Proof of Heaven. He's a neurosurgeon that had this incredible after-death experience. My experience showed me that the death of the body and the brain are not the end of consciousness, that human experience continues beyond the grave. More important, it continues under the gaze of a God who loves and cares about each one of us and about where the universe itself and all the beings within it are ultimately going. his near-death experience totally transformed and changed his life. Those of you that heard him speak at our conference know what an incredible experience that he had. And in fact, I gave up, and Herb gave up our speeches at that conference so that Evan could speak, because he was able to come at the last minute. Yogananda, those of you that are followers of Yogananda, death is only an experience through which you are meant to learn a great lesson. You cannot die. You cannot die. The form that you're temporarily borrowing and using, but you cannot die. The soul is eternal. The Tibetan Book of the Dead says, all that lives, lives forever. Only the shell, the perishable, passes away. The spirit is without end, eternal and deathless. Death does not break our continuity with the immortal souls of those we love simply because the physical personhood of a mortal body is gone. Despite their many activities, the departed are still able to reach us if called upon. Every night I say, Stephen, I want to meet with you and Beethoven and Happy in the dream state. We play together. I say to my mother and dad, I want to meet with you. And we have conversations almost every night. Before I fall, that's what the last thing I do before I fall asleep, is I talk to those on the other side. And they talk back to me. And sometimes I can't pick it up. You know, don't get discouraged if you can't always make an attunement. You need to practice. You need to meditate. You need to work in an altered state of consciousness, which is meditation, which is relaxing and doing that. An Indian mystic named Osho, I guess that's how you pronounce it, you exist in time, but you belong to eternity. You are a penetration of eternity into the womb. You are deathless, living in a body of death. Your consciousness knows no birth or no death. The body that is born dies, but you are not conscious of your consciousness. And that is where you need meditation, becoming conscious of the consciousness itself, becoming conscious. We live kind of asleep. We live asleep. We live into denial. We are going to die. The body is going to die. The soul will continue. But the body is going to die. So the years we have these incredibly precious temples, even when they're falling apart, aging and all that kind of thing. It's an incredible gift to have a body, to be alive. We are under numerous soul contracts. You came in with a purpose. You came in to learn certain soul lessons, and you are under particular soul contracts. Some of us will fail to fulfill those soul contracts, but some of us will keep those. And sometimes when we see the death of a great number of people at the same time, we go, what a tragedy. They were under soul contracts. They would not just arbitrarily be taken and die for no reason. We don't know all the reasons that there may be an airplane full of people that all died, but there are soul contracts each of them are experiencing, and sometimes group contracts. Yogananda also said, it doesn't matter whether we scrub floors or whether we are teachers of great nations. Unless we know that we are merely playing a part on the stage of time, we will suffer from the dualities inherent in the consciousness of being identified with these different stations and conditions. Stage actors do not bemoan their particular parts, but they enact their roles to the best of their ability, knowing that they are temporary portrayals. Do you see? It is only when we take life too seriously that we suffer. Gandhi says, life and death are the phases of the same thing, the reverse and the obverse of the same coin. Death is as necessary for man's growth as life itself. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day, unseen, unheard, but always near, still loved, still missed, and very dear. There is no death. There is a change of form, and we need to, even early in our lives or with our children, begin to prepare them for the beauty of finishing their soul contracts and exiting, releasing this physical body. Children are not too young to be talked to and they're not too young to understand, and they're not frightened of death like so many of us are. Why are we afraid of death? We aren't as afraid of death as we are afraid of the suffering that leads to death. It's not the death we fear. Death is rarely ever really that painful. It's the suffering beforehand. As soon as there's a death, there's going into another dimension, and there's this joy and beauty and all kinds of things, depending upon, of course, what you have sown in this lifetime. Will it ever be possible to call 1-800-HEAVEN? That's the name of my next book. 1-800-HEAVEN and talk to loved ones who died. Sherry Pearl and her EVP research is showing that is happening. She has a telephone, 1-800-HEAVEN. Danny, are you there? Yes, Mom. I'm trying to help as much as I can. That's what you need to do. Imagine yourself with a phone, calling a loved one who died. Hello, Heaven. Are you there? Call your loved one's name. Talk to them. They love that. I was doing paranormal voice research back in Washington, D.C., back in the 70s, and I was so tired. We were getting up at 3 o'clock every morning and spending an hour listening, having the reel-to-reel tape on, asking questions, pausing for the answers, and we were all exhausted. We had a team of scientists that were doing that, and we worked on it every single day, and we got some amazing voices. One time, the voice went around the room of 8 or 9 of us that were meditating and called each of us by name. Each of us by name. Another time, I was so tired and I said to myself, I didn't say it out loud, if this doesn't work soon, I'm going to quit. This to myself. And when we played the tape back, a male voice, very loud, said, don't quit. Don't quit. Those on the other side are as eager to know that they have made a communication with us as we are with them. They're as excited when we say, oh, I can hear you. Sometimes, haven't you ever been working and doing something and you have the feeling of the presence of your loved one who died? She's shaking her head. Her father was wonderful, wonderful. So Debbie Marks, his father, and he transitioned when he was 97, was it? 98. And we want our loved ones to stay, but it's time for them to go sometimes. And what can we do to establish this 1-800 connection? Meditate. Pray. Read everything you can from other teachings. What does Yogananda say? What does the research say? There's incredible new scientific research about near-death experiences and communicating with the other side. Read everything that you can. Read especially Casey about life after death. There's some of the best material in the books by Casey about the other side of life after death and how that we can communicate. So, how do we communicate with the dead? First, we have to have the intent to do it and to know that it's possible and that it's not something that is wrong to do. Think about the scripture. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus talked to Moses and Elijah. They were both dead. He saw them. They appeared to him. He talked to them out loud. And he said, the things I do, you can do in greater than these. So we can communicate, and we should communicate, and it will not slow down the growth of the person on the other side. I cannot tell you how many dozens of times I've heard, oh, I would do that, but I don't want to slow down their progress on the other side. You may help their progress on the other side, not slow it down. And if it is in any way affecting their progress, they will tell you that. They'll say, I really can't talk with you. I can't do this now. They'll talk to you just like we talk to each other. Sometimes you will get unknowing. Sometimes you will hear a voice out loud. I heard Stephen's voice in his voice at the end of the room about a couple of months after he died. He said, from the left-hand corner of the room, Mom, as clear as could be. And I've had a number of experiences like that. My sister died in our family home in Chattanooga. And my mother spoke to me, and I knew that if I told my sister that, she would ask me to leave the house because she's a born-again Christian, very dogmatic born-again Christian. And so I said to her, I knew I needed to tell her that I had heard mother speak, but I knew if I did, she would just freak out. So I said, Adelaine, I had a dream, and mother said, you were right. You were right. I told her when she died, she would meet daddy and all of her loved ones on the other side, and she said, you were right. You were right. She would not have accepted that unless it was a dream, because dreams are not so confronted and difficult. So communicating with the dead, it's frustrating sometimes. What we really want, we want them to appear fully before us, exactly like they look. We want them to speak out loud, hold us, embrace us. We want to feel their touch. We want to pet our pets. And it isn't like that. You have to learn to deal with another way of communication. And that will be very often telepathically, through feelings and sensitivity, things of that kind. And when you do, you'll be able not only to be comforted by knowing that your loved one continues, but you'll be able very often to ask for guidance, help of things, and get insights that you might not have. It's a wonderful rapport we can have with our loved ones who are dead. We have to look at the word dead in a different way. Dead. You know, dead has a really bad connotation. Dead. It's finished. Dead. I want to tell this real quick story in closing, if Debbie doesn't mind. Her best friend died the other day, and he was a man named Joe, and he was 68 years old. He was absolutely delighted. He came over for many parties at their house and would dance, and he was just the life of the party. And she said that the day that he died, she heard him say, what was it? He said, Debbie, and she knew that it was him. So listen. Listen, trust, and listen. And it can be the greatest experience for you because grief doesn't have to be ongoing. When you communicate and you know that you're hearing, and keep a journal, write down these experiences you have because you will forget them just like a dream. So happy communicating with the dead. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, everyone, remain seated.